Basketball is about dunks and fast breaks. It's also about lock in. 5.4 million people receive that message before every Golden State Warriors game from Stephen Curry 30. Yes, I mean that, Stephen Curry 30. And they received that message last night. The tweet handle of Curry is just one bit of Twitter theater. Groundbreaking night for the Warriors, says the NBA Twitter account, which also delivers the screen candy of a Vine video of Steph Curry taking out a Cavaliers guard, animation of the ground breaking like an earthquake underneath him, and then Steph makes a three-pointer. That's a lot more fun to watch than the monosyllabic utterings of players.
Just got to keep playing and remain calm and go forward from there.
They're a very battle-tested team, showed a lot of perseverance.
Continue this journey.
And everything's on the line.
On social media, 66 million people got pinged, poked, or received notifications during Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Oh, by the way, the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. You probably knew this. One detail, here's another. The NBA is the third largest American professional sports league in terms of revenue behind the NFL and Major League Baseball, but it has twice as many followers as the NFL. Baseball has 15 million followers, the NHL has just 11 million. Basketball's social presence is international. This winter, the league claimed that it had over 1 billion followers across league, team, and player accounts in the U.S. and China. It's like basketball is some kind of social media platform all by itself. Fans, players, and sponsors trying to reach each other with tweet after tweet after Vine after Vine. Jason Concepcion is a tweetmeister. 103,000 Twitter followers he has. He's an NBA superfan and a writer for the new sports and culture site, The Ringer. Jason, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What would you be without Twitter?
I'm not sure. Let's not explore it too deeply.
No, but the combination of the NBA, fandom,
yes,
and Twitter,
yeah,
is something new to the world.
Sure. I think something about the culture of the game lends itself to this kind of trash-talking, personality-driven medium that social media obviously is.
You can't hit a mid-court three-pointer, right?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Since no one's seeing this, yes, I can. Sure.
No, you can't, Jason. But you can tweet just like LeBron.
Yes. Sure.
Or anyone else.
Yeah. I think the fact that Twitter is this kind of leveling force, it gives people the ability to be courtside, to comment directly on the game, to talk directly to the players, is a powerful force. And beyond sports, but obviously in the NBA as well.
It's like you're Spike Lee courtside at the Knicks game. It's like you're on the court being able to yell something in the middle of a game because it's fast paced.
Yes. I mean, that's what I was going for when I first started tweeting at basketball games, was to just try and capture that vibe when you're at the park or you're in a small high school gym and people are just talking to the players. You can hear the players speak to each other and capture that vibe.
When have you nailed it? Give me a couple of points where you've nailed it in the course of a season.
The very first tweet that I thought, oh, that one was pretty good, was during the 2009-ish playoffs. The running joke at the time was that Doug Collins, a commentator, was very fond of LeBron, perhaps overly so.
Right.
So I made a joke in that vein. I think that was the first time that I thought, oh, you know, like, okay, this is how you kind of use this.
Who are some of your favorite tweeters?
Oh, man.
In the NBA space? And they don't have to be players. They could be players and fans.
Oh, man. I would say Zach Lowe, I think, is great if you want really smart commentary. Nate Duncan is another guy if you really want that intelligent commentary. Shea Serrano is a hilarious person who is a writer. I would promote The Ringer and say, like, people that are affiliated with the NBA at The Ringer are great follows. Let's see, Matthew Dellavedova. It's like quietly a very good social media presence, not necessarily on Twitter, but otherwise. Tristan Thompson also.
What about stars trying to intimidate their opponents using Twitter and then maybe carrying it out on the
That's part of what makes the medium really great is it gives you entree into these kind of things that you wouldn't hear unless you're sitting courtside. I think one of my favorite things that ever happened on Twitter was Dion Waiters, who now plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, was at the time playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was getting a lot of criticism about his style of play, and he tweeted a highlight reel of himself from like a season previous, and he said, you know, men lie, buckets don't. DNT, all caps, is just one of the great moments of social media.
What makes the NBA more sort of digitally savvy than the rest of the world?
Well, I think it skews younger, for one. That mm-hmm. certainly helps. So there's a lot of digital natives there. The NBA has always been more personality-driven than the other sports by the simple fact that there's less players on the court and more chance for an individual player to affect the outcome of a game. The NBA has always marketed itself that way as a star-driven league. It's just fun to play with the image of stars. And obviously the players are using social media as a way to increase their brand.
It's as though visually the game lends itself to quick videos, quick, you know, vines, these sorts of things. And the other sports don't. I mean, they're just too slow.
Well, it's a fast free. It certainly is a faster, more free flowing sport. Not as free flowing as soccer, obviously. But you know, you've got it's end to end. You've got one on one interactions all over the court. And unlike football, where you've got lots of one on one interactions, you can see them because there's less players on the court. Baseball is obviously a lot of stop starts, and this is part of what the NBA is trying to leverage with in terms of increasing their global popularity. You know, this flowing, freestyling sort of game.
Does social media predict this series? Is there a way of saying in the social media world, the Warriors or the Warriors fans or the Cavaliers fans are expressing themselves better or worse?
Well, I think, listen, the Warriors are one of the most electric bandwagon teams of recent memory. They play an attractive style. Furthermore, the narrative around the club is one of this kind of Silicon Valley disruption. They take more threes than anyone. You know, Steph Curry is changing the game. They're changing the game in the way they play. Small ball has revolutionized the game. So there's this, when you get on that bandwagon, you get that feeling of, hey, you know, that kind of Silicon Valley utopianism. I'm changing the world. I'm improving basketball by liking this team. If they play the way they've played for most of the season, I think they win the series probably in 5 or 6.
LeBron personally has used social media very successfully, but he's no match for the Warriors' footprint at this point?
Yeah, the Warriors are a global team at this point. There's people that didn't like basketball before that love the Warriors.
So you could go to the middle of Mongolia.
People love Steph Curry. Something I've never seen before, which is player warm-ups. You've got fans and kids swarming Steph Curry's player warm-ups as he does a kind of two-handed dribbling routine, and he takes shots from the tunnel, the player exit tunnel, and people tweet these things and go and watch this. This is something people have not seen before because he really is the way he plays evokes this kind of childlike joy that is translates across nations.
Jason Concepcion, writer for The Ringer, thanks so much.
Thank you.